Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back on this New Year's Day, 2025. All the best to you and your families as you drive around and listen to our program. We do appreciate it wherever you may be. Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. It is 11:38 in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, IA, and that means it's time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. 724-443-5610. Let's set out to the hotline here, Austin, and then we'll get into some football talk. But Joe in Whitehall has been on the line. So, Joe, welcome in. How are you today?
Hey, good, Bob. Thanks. Happy New Year.
You too.
Anyway, I think the guy from Cincinnati ought to get canned if he can't win in Pittsburgh because, you know, with a quarterback like Burrow and the other guys around him, he should have won a lot more games, even with them missing, Burrow missing games, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, no question. I thought they were, I don't know where you had them, Austin, at the beginning of the season. I thought Cincinnati was capable of winning a division and doing some damage based on their offense, but their defense has failed them big time.
Yeah, I had them in the Super Bowl, actually, winning the division and losing in the Super Bowl to the Lions.
Yeah, so Joe, they are a team, though, that's still very dangerous here on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they could win for sure, but I still think that they're, you know, they're a lot more talent, and they could do it with a better coach. And I'd just like to say another thing, Bob. Of course, you're the top guy in Pittsburgh, I know, but that Austin Bechtold, he has star power. I'm telling you.
Man, it's been the Austin Bechtold show here.
I know,
a big smile
on
his face right now. And yeah, he is a commanding presence.
Is he with Starkey in the morning?
Well, he's here on this show. Yes.
Hi, Joe. That's me.
No, it's not Joe. This isn't Starkey. But is he on that show with him?
He's on here right now. You've been talking to him, yes. So, yeah.
And yeah, okay.
I know he appreciates that. So, thank you, Joe, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, Joe. Bob, I am not paying these people to call in and say complimentary things about me.
Nor did I expect that to be the case. But, I mean, it's a compliment to you when you're doing your time and – you don't get that many opportunities to do it, especially, you know, by yourself. And when you do, you carry it very well. So
yeah,
well,
try to make the most of it. So
all right, let's talk about this game first, and we'll get into some of these head coaching vacancies. And I don't think Zach Taylor is going to be one of them, by the way. I do think this whole offseason will be very interesting what they do, because they have guys who are going to get some big money. The question with them is, can you afford to bring back both Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, given what they both have done, knowing that their defense needs major help? Now, there's a lot of money here. Burrow just signed his big contract. How much money is there on the offensive side, or will they become the Steeler version of the offense? In other words, the highest paid offense in the NFL, defense not so much.
Yeah, and I wonder because, I mean, aren't the Bengals always discussed as, well, they don't spend money in the right places, or maybe they don't spend money at all?
They're going to have to.
I would bring back Chase, no doubt about it, 100%. But they're probably going to let Higgins walk, Bob. I think they are. I don't think they want to command significant money to two big-time offensive weapons when their defense has been arguably the worst in the NFL, would you say? At least out of all the quote-unquote contenders. Cincinnati's defense, their secondary and their linebacking play, bad.
Yeah, and Logan Wilson's out. He's hurt. Sam Hubbard is out. He's hurt. You have Trey Hendrickson, who leads the NFL in sacks. He's been terrific, as he always is. Geno Stone, Cam Taylor, Britt, who had a pick six against Russell Wilson earlier this season. They need major upgrades on defense. And so you have to allocate money accordingly. And when I look at what they have, sure, you want to score a lot of points. And you have Joe Burrow there. You need to make sure you have people around him. They have Mike Gesicki at tight end. I think he's been good. I think they moved on from Joe Mixon. They have a perfectly capable guy in fifth-round pick, Chase Brown. But realistically, one of those two will go, and most likely it'll be Higgins. And that raises the question of what the Steelers may do in free agency themselves. They can certainly use a guy like that, but they already have one. How much money can they spend? Again, this is all a puzzle that comes back to quarterbacks. It starts there. You have to figure out your quarterback situation, how much money you're going to allocate to whoever it is next, or do you start that whole process over again? But in order to attract a guy like T. Higgins in free agency, if that's what your interest is, you better have a quarterback in place.
So they are going to have $54 million in cap space, according to Over the Cap, available for them next
year. Who's they?
The Steelers.
Okay.
Cincinnati's going to have about $60 million. So, I mean, if you pay Russell Wilson $35, $40 million,
Too much.
So what, it's 30 the deal now? The Baker Mayfield contract is the highest I would go, which was 3 and 100. And I would want the last year non-guaranteed.
It takes two to tango. He's going to have to agree to that, and he might. He might like it here enough that's the perfect number for him.
What they should do is something like the Jordan Love type of contract, what Green Bay did with Aaron Rodgers, where they draft somebody. I wouldn't sit Love as long as they did, 3 years, but I would draft somebody, whether it be this year or next year. I'd rather it be next year because this crop of quarterbacks is not very good, and have him sit behind Wilson for a year and then step into the role. Well, kind of like what they did in Atlanta with Michael Penix and Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, but that went awry very quickly.
Yeah, but
whole idea there was to and then Cousins that was money not well spent.
They shouldn't have given him a 4-year deal.
No, it's much like in a different way, even though the Deshaun Watson was reprehensible to me, that the Haslam family would reward him and all of his crap that they had to deal with, and they brought him in, gave up a lot to get him, and gave him that money guaranteed. It's similar in the sense of the money. Kirk Cousins, not the kind of quarterback you would expect to be there for a long period of time, and somehow they gave him 4 years at a big amount of money and still owe him a ton, knowing he's coming off an Achilles injury. That, to me, is a red flag. I will use that as Russell Wilson, that calf injury. Calves are tough. Calves can lead to Achilles. I assume everything's fine there, and I hope it is, but you have to factor age into this as well, and I think Justin Fields is a young – it would depend on what they believe that Justin Fields can be. If they've seen enough strides this year, that if they clear it out and say, you're going to be our quarterback in the future, we believe you'll take the next steps, we're going to surround you with the right people to make that possible, the talent is there. It's just a matter of corralling it and making it effective in different parts of his game, specifically decision-making from the pocket.
It's there, but at the same time, my real question, and I'm a Fields believer, is that we're in what, year four now of Justin Fields, Bob? When does it eventually click?
Again, you don't hold against Chicago's. They have four different offensive coordinators, three different head coaches. I mean,
I do.
That's tough for any young. That you just suggested bringing in a guy to learn. What do you think Justin Fields was like in year one when they were throwing him out there with no specific plan? I think it helped his run game, but it hurt him as a passer. And I think he's digging out from that. So for me, I wouldn't rule that out right now. I want to see how this plays out this week and into the playoffs before I make final decisions. But they're going to have to figure something out.
And maybe they played him too early. Like, maybe they should have had Fields sit and wait for a little bit. I don't know what the true barometer is and how much quarterbacks really are helped by sitting. It's worked in Green Bay, but other than that, it hasn't worked
for Aaron Rodgers, too. He sat for a while.
Yeah.
In both cases.
Green Bay, just for whatever reason, just figures it out better than anybody else. But I would think that maybe a 2-year deal with Wilson is going to be the most likely. Three, it would have to be non-guaranteed, at least for me.
All right, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions regarding coaching here. And we already know the three openings. The Jets are looking. And I've read, I don't know if this is accurate or not, that they're talking about Rex Ryan potentially. I mean, come on now. Are they going to go back in that area to do it? No, they should be looking at a young person. They fired Robert Saleh back in October, and then they fired their general manager. They brought in they've done everything backwards. Woody Johnson has mangled that organization, so they need somebody there. So does New Orleans, and so does Chicago. Those are the three. New Orleans, Dennis Allen fired November the 4th. What are they going to do there? And Chicago, this, here we go again. Eberflus out. What are they going to do?
Eberflus,
yeah. Not any idea how to do anything on the field when it comes to clock management. But, those are the three. But let's delve into it deeper. A lot of people in Cleveland say that's going to be a change and that the blame will come on him. They're 3-12. He's a 2-time coach of the year, Kevin Stefanski, like that or not. Their problems have not been Kevin Stefanski.
Not at all.
The problems have been the ownership there. So what do you think they do, and how do they handle Deshaun Watson moving forward?
Well, they already tried to restructure his deal. Well, they did restructure it so that his cap number, when his contract eventually does come off the books, is not as harsh as it once was. They dug themselves a ditch that they're not able to climb out of, and they're just going to have to lay in it for the next couple of years, I think, Bob. Unless what I would do if I'm Cleveland is you restructured Watson, you play Watson at the start of the year, but you draft a quarterback, whether it be Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, with the third pick, because Travis Hunter is going to go one unless somebody trades up, and you play your quarterback, I don't know, halfway through the year, maybe you start to play him, and Deshaun Watson, you basically just kick him to the curb and do what the Broncos did with Russell Wilson and what the Falcons are probably going to do with Kirk Cousins and just eat the money and get him out of there. Because the quarterback is the main problem, quarterback and ownership, and the ownership's not changing.
Right. I'm going to run through some quickies before we get Steve on, who's on line one. But the New England Patriots brought in Gerard Mayo to be their guy, and quite frankly, Robert Kraft has messed things up there, I think. He guaranteed that job to him, put it in his contract before he ever got it. So you made a determination. That's never a good way to go, in my view, when hiring a head coach. They have a quarterback who I think could be effective, but they need a lot more. But I don't expect a coaching change just because of that. Tennessee, first-year coach, I don't think they're going to change. They got quarterback issues. They'll wait a little bit. When you talk about the Giants, though, Brian Daboll and Joe Schoen, now, their tandem, I don't know what they're going to do there. They got rid of their quarterback, Daniel Jones. Yet they've been winning games they shouldn't be winning, and they've moved themselves out of the top position of getting the, you know, maybe a quarterback of the future there, which is crazy to me. They're doing it the wrong way. I think Daboll will be fired. Do you?
I do. I don't think he should. I think he's a really good coach, but they've completely screwed up the quarterback. And if you screw up quarterback, you are not going to stick around long in the NFL, depending on – it doesn't even matter how good of a coach you are. I don't like firing first-year coaches. Like the same thing in Tennessee. I don't think they're going to move off of him, but – Daboll will end up being the scapegoat, even though the real scapegoat should be their management team for letting Saquon Barkley walk.
Oh, yeah, that was their worst decision, and now this weekend, he gets a chance to go over and break the record against the team that got rid of him. Wouldn't that be sweet if you're Saquon Barkley and if you're an Eagles fan?
He needs 100 yards. I think he's going to get it in the first half.
Well, Nick Sirianni said he was not sure if he was going to play. We talked about this yesterday. My view on it would be, okay, I go to him and say, your call here. You want to play and get this record? That's your record. I'm all for it. I'll take the blame if something happens. Hopefully it won't, but I'm going to play him. Jacksonville. Now, this is a mess. And the reason is a quote I discovered way at the beginning of the season from their owner, who said he believes this group is the best team assembled in Jacksonville franchise history. That was what he said going into this season. They're now 3-12. Doug Peterson should take the fall for this. But how much of it is on Trevor Lawrence? They gave a lot of money to him, and he is just not good anywhere near that. I think Peterson will be fired.
Man, I did not remember that. Yes, there's no doubt that Peterson will be fired. I'm surprised that he has not already been fired in season like so many other coaches have been. Trevor Lawrence does deserve some blame. Some of his weapons around him have also been hurt. His defense isn't really good enough. But Doug Peterson, I feel like, has lost the locker room halfway through the season, and part of that is Trevor Lawrence has also been hurt.
Here's a tricky one. Dallas. Mike McCarthy's at the end of this contract, as are all of his coaches. To me, it would be an easy way around that. But the last time they were in this situation was Jason Garrett. Jason Garrett had moved to the end of his contract. They waited a few weeks, and they finally brought him back to a new 5-year contract. I do not see that possible in Dallas the way things are going. As much as I respect Mike McCarthy, I think he's going to be looking for another job.
I think he's going to be gone too. And the thing about Dallas is, until Jerry Jones basically takes the reins off of all power and all control in Dallas, their head coaches are not going to be able to thrive. I mean, since Jimmy Johnson, Barry Switzer, what coach has been able to do well enough in Dallas? I mean, they haven't been back to an NFC Championship game since 95. And they seemingly win like 10, 11 games every year and then fold in the playoffs. Right. And Jerry blames everybody but himself.
Yeah, and they let Tony Pollard go, and they brought back Ezekiel Elliott, and they just released Elliott now. The decision-making is difficult down there. All right, let's go to Steve on line one, joining us right now on the Pomp and Joe Show. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Happy New Year to two really good guys there.
You too. Thank you.
Hey, Bob, you know, I just thought of something while listening to you talk. You forgot that one Italian restaurant in Westview, a new one called Severina. Did you ever eat there?
See, I've never been there. I mentioned Rico's yesterday and so many other good. We're lucky we have a lot of good Italian restaurants. I went through my list of 10, but I've never been to Severino's. Where is it again?
It's in Westview, and it's only a couple years old. It's make sure you leave room for dessert. They got some of the best desserts around Pittsburgh, honestly. They make them fresh every day.
Well, see,
fantastic.
Here's my philosophy about desserts. Now, Austin Bechtold, who's very thin, could eat as much as he wants, and he doesn't have to worry about gaining. His metabolism is at an all-time high. As we get older, the metabolism changes. I have become more of a taste tester dessert eater, which is to say, I want to see a dessert, but I'll take one bite of it, and that's it. I try to discipline myself, because some of these desserts, and if you go to an Italian place like the one you're describing, those desserts are big. You can't handle them by yourself. At least you shouldn't as you get older, right? Or am I wrong?
Yeah, it's family style. You know, you got to, like, everybody gets a spoon, everybody takes one bite, and you have a cup of decaf, and you feel fantastic. You know, that's the way, you know.
And you need a little Benedictine or Galliano in the after-dinner drink department.
Absolutely.
Right? A little amaretto.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yes. That's
very enjoyable.
What's on your mind, Steve?
Yeah, so you guys were talking about the quarterback situation. Yeah, I would definitely keep Russell Wilson, but I think for the backup, I Garoppolo's out there. He's a backup right now. He would be a better backup than what we have. He's a proven winner.
I don't know
he's
about
been able
that.
To take,
I think he'd want more money.
To take somebody to.
I think Kyle Allen, if that's the case, is now we haven't seen him really. The one throw he did make when he got in was a good one. I wouldn't mind him as the backup.
I just think there's better options than the backup we have now that I think will be overpaid for what. Listen, Russell Wilson made some mistakes when we fell behind. He tried to try a little bit too hard, but all quarterbacks do that when you fall behind. You know, it just seems like, you know, our current backup quarterback does that all the time, where he takes a sack for 20 yards or drops the ball, you know, early in the game when you don't, you know, it's not like you're trying to catch up and you really need to try too hard. I just think there's better options for less money out there. And I think the Steelers have like $11 million left in the cap this year. They could arrange, well, it's still not too late. You got a week. You could arrange a new contract for next year that includes $11 million of this year's money that would only bring him down to maybe like 19 for next year. That's what I would do, but I'm going to hang up.
Yeah, I don't think you can do anything until this year is over just because he is being paid by Denver. So they can't really do much now. But, Steve, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Happy New Year to you at 412-928-9370, the number to call. I'm less concerned right now about a backup and more concerned about who they determine is going to be their, you know, future. And I say future, whether it's short-term or longer-term future quarterback. They need to figure that out. And again, I'm going to wait to see how this season plays out the last couple of games here, and we'll see where we go from that. Kyle in Freeport joins us right now before we go to a break. Hey, Kyle, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you, Bob?
Good, thanks.
The last couple of weeks, I think every week I check in with you on Instagram and I say, hey, just so you know, pumping ain't easy. I haven't gotten a response yet.
Well, you know what? It's hard for me to go through every response, and I apologize for that. I wish I could, but... Kyle, it's tough when you're working and you don't have a lot of time to start scrolling. If I do it, it's late at night, and by then who knows if I'm capable.
No,
of responding.
I get it.
But I appreciate you on that, and you're right, pumping ain't easy. Never is.
So where did the Italian restaurant list come into play? How did that come up?
Someone on the fan text line asked. So, okay. I mean, I went through, and it's tough on the top of your head because there's so many good ones out there that I like, and I like most every Italian place I've been to. But so I just off the top of my head went through 10.
I want to invite you to mine. I own one, Asti Steakhouse at Grandview Golf Club. I know you're a golfer. I don't know if you've played at Grandview. It's not an easy course.
No, I haven't done it. I've heard a lot of good things about it. So it's called what again?
The restaurant's Asti Steakhouse, but the golf course is Grandview Golf Club. And you in City of Limits, I don't know if Austin plays golf or not. If he does, I'm sure he's good.
By the time he has enough of Joe and me, he will. He'll end up getting the clubs, okay. And he will, yes.
Yes, I think I have golfed a couple of different times. I am not very good at it. I'm better at putting than anything else. So I'm on the
– that's part of the
game. You guys are both invited to play for free. You come down, ask for Kyle any day of the week. You guys are local celebrities, and we all love you.
All right, so you're saying about Italian. Asti Steakhouse is an Italian place?
It's an Italian steakhouse, and we're at Grandview Golf Club. So it's not your traditional, clubhouse restaurant. Separate owners. And yeah, we're open to the public. And I've been trying to get a hold of you guys to invite you. Come down, get whatever you want. It's on me. Listen to the show every day. I love you guys.
Kyle, thanks. We appreciate that, and we will take advantage of that. And I'd like to. My wife enjoys new restaurants as well. So
bring whoever you want. Bring them all.
Be careful what you wish for there, Kyle. But thanks for the invite, and Happy New Year to you. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Happy New Year, guys. Thanks.
All right. So, Kyle, huh? There we go. We got a place to play golf and eat afterwards if you want.
I would love to.
This is why I tell people to play golf. Golf people are great. We enjoy company. We enjoy the game itself, the camaraderie, the social activity, and the fact that you don't have to be on your phone so much. And then afterwards, you go to get a drink, you go to dinner. It's a complete day, and then you're tired. You go to bed.
I think we could have an incredible day out on the course.
Well, I'm going to look into my Instagram, and Kyle, hit me up if you're listening here and make sure I see a more recent response.